Welcome to the PapaCast on the Gridiron. Now here's your host, Bob Papa.
Another edition of the PapaCast. So glad you can join us. And obviously a lot of issues going on in the National Football League. The lightning rod issue, the suspension, the one-game suspension of Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. for his incident on Sunday against Josh Norman and the Carolina Panthers. Odell Beckham Jr. appealing the suspension, but as of now, he is out for Sunday's game against the Minnesota Vikings. Joining us on the PapaCast, a man who played in the National Football League, played in the Super Bowl with the Cincinnati Bengals, and now a broadcaster for CBS and NFL Network. My buddy Solomon Wilcots joins us here on the PapaCast. And Solly, we get right into it here. The league's hands were tied, weren't they? Based on player safety and everything else that's going on, they had to suspend Odell Beckham Jr., didn't they?
Yeah, I think they did. It was a big stage. As you well know, this matchup between he and Josh Norman was highly touted and much anticipated. And it escalated into something that, let's be honest, just a poor example of maybe what we don't want in the National Football League. And Odell Beckham Jr. continued to escalate it, and then I think it came down to that final hit where you read the report that the league sent in that letter to Odell Beckham Jr. where he had a direct beat, a direct line at Josh Norman, and he would launch himself, leading with his head, to the head of a defenseless player. Josh Norman was in truly in a defenseless position, could not protect himself, and Odell Beckham Jr. launched using his helmet, went to the head of Josh Norman, and I think that was the final straw. Of course, they both went at it, and they both are responsible, but I think the repeated nature in which Odell Beckham Jr. constantly put the safety of Josh Norman at risk, particularly on that last shot, I think he left the league no choice but to suspend him.
Solly, obviously, the hit notwithstanding, there was not a flag thrown on either player until we were in the second quarter. And this is a situation where this thing was heated literally from the very first snap of the game. Odell Beckham Jr. drops a 52-yard touchdown pass on the third play of the game. And the body slamming, the hands to the face, the swiping at each other was on every play. Some responsibility has to fall on this officiating crew for allowing it to get to this point. Do you agree?
Oh, there's no doubt. And in this league, remember, the officials are charged with controlling things on the field. They have to control the players. And they have to issue warnings. They have to tell the players, okay, if this continues, we're going to get you out of here. And you talk to the coaches, and the coaches, I think, are also responsible for controlling the players as well. But the officials can nip it in the bud. When you, just like when we go into a playoff game, you see players out there getting chippy, they penalize them right away. They warn them and talk to them right away to try to curtail it, to not allow it to escalate. You talked about it. You didn't see a penalty flag until you got into the second quarter of the game. By then, you might say the train was off the tracks and it was headed in the wrong direction.
Now, there's been a lot of chatter after the fact here about a baseball bat, and that Carolina had a baseball bat during pregame warmups, which, first of all, is something that they've used in the past because Ben A. Benwickery, who's on injured reserve, he would use that. And we've seen teams over the years have props as motivational tools, championship belts, whatever the case might be. Solly, and there's also been another narrative about some of the things that were being said to Odell Beckham Jr. and that this became sort of a street thing. You're not buying any of that, are you, as an excuse?
Bob, I mean, come on. Before USC Trojan games, don't a guy come out with a sword? He's swinging it around and jabbing it into the ground before Florida State comes out and playing college football. The Seminole Indian has a spear. He chucks it right into the ground. We've seen Paul Bunyan's axe come out in the hands of some players. I remember Reggie Bush during their 2006 run. He had a bat. He came out, led his team out. They're going to keep swinging. It's a metaphor. It's used to kind of give the team a certain mindset. if anyone for the Giants, or you're looking to support Odell Beckham Jr., and you're going to go to that to say he had probable or reasonable cause to do some of the things he did on the field, well, then you're just not paying attention. And that's just using excuses and explanation to try to cover up and take the responsibility off this player for his blatant action and blatant disrespect, I think, for the health and safety of other players. That has to be the greater message. I think Odell Beckham Jr. will learn his lesson. But he won't learn his lesson if we don't hold him accountable. And that's all we're doing here. No one's saying this is a bad kid. He's horrible. He's a good kid that made some bad decisions in a football game. And hopefully he'll learn from this and he won't do it again.
And the narrative of this being a street thing with him and Josh Norman, for our listeners, I mean, you didn't grow up in the nicest of neighborhoods in Los Angeles, and you don't feel that there's that excuse being used for either side and by some other former players doesn't wash with you, does it?
No, it does not. I don't care where you grow up. I don't care what environment or culture you come from. As we grow into adults, we understand that there are two roads we can take. We understand there is a higher road. We understand that as a result of our actions, there are also going to be consequences if we don't take that higher road. I believe many of us have made it out of some of those environments where culturally violence is a way of everyday life, retaliation is a way of everyday life. But the reason why we made it out is because we didn't retaliate. The reason why we made it out is we allowed our ability to reason to override our emotions, and we were able to make great decisions that kept us out of the prison industrial complex, that allowed us to go off to college, to play professional sports, to better our lives. We also have to continue to hold players accountable, and there's no way you can fall back on, well, this is how I grew up. This is how we handle problems where I'm from. Because you're no longer there, and this is your career, this is your job, you're in a professional environment, and we're going to hold you accountable, and we expect you to conduct yourself as a professional.
Legacy. Odell Beckham Jr. is taking the NFL by storm. I mean, kids love him. He's a guy that the one-handed catch. He's done things in the first 26 games of his career that nobody's ever done. Jerry Rice hasn't done it. A lot of guys haven't done it. Randy Moss didn't do certain things he's done. But this is also now part of his resume. He's got a lot of career left to change it. But it needs to get changed pretty quickly, doesn't it? Because perceptions are long-lasting.
There's no doubt. And, you know, just like we remember that iconic one-hand catch from 1 year ago, where now they're part of his football life story. They're going to be rolling in some of these scenes as well. It's part of the documentation of his career. If you go back to do the football life story, this is going to be there, Bob. It's going to be there. Now, maybe it's part of the greater narrative that it was an adverse period and he later overturned it and overcame it and put it in his past, and hopefully we never see this a repeat of this behavior again. But right now, it's on the ledger, if you will. It's part of his resume. And I hope that he can overcome it. I hope that we never have to talk about this again. But as we go back and look at it, it's going to be there. And, you know, he's going to have kids. He's going to have grandkids. They're going to go back and look at his career. They're going to see so many great wonderful one-hand catches and big-time moments. But this will also be there, Bob. He's going to have to answer his kids, his grandkids, like, Granddad, what happened to you here? And hopefully he'll be able to say, look, I lost my cool. I didn't handle that appropriately. I wasn't very mature in the moment. Don't do like I did. And hopefully that's where we hope that he evolves to understand what he did. And I'm confident that he has the right people around him. He's with a great organization like the Giants. And they'll be able to have a conversation with him where this won't be a repeat performance.
Solomon, this week on CBS, you have the Houston Texans as they try to nail down the AFC South. How is it that over the years this team has been able to perform with their starting quarterbacks hurt, yet they have an opportunity to make it to the postseason as they come off a defining win against Indianapolis this past Sunday?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? You know, I think it's a testament to their coaches. Bill O'Brien's done a good job. He admitted to the team after he had to release Ryan Mallett for missing a team playing that he should have made the decision and decided on Brian Hoyer earlier. and that maybe they would be in better situation. But remember, they still have one of the best defenses in the National Football League, one of the best third down defenses in the NFL as well. This team has the second best pass defense because J.J. Watt can get after the quarterback. So DeAndre Hopkins, no matter who's playing quarterback, he's still one of the top wide receivers in this league. So they've kept it together. Now, I do think they are the beneficiary of a division that is struggling in the AFC South. But at the end of the day, they're sitting there and they've got a chance to clinch the division. They've got a chance to make the playoffs despite what maybe four different quarterbacks having played for this football team so far in 2015.
Solly, final question. You played for Cincinnati. You called the game this past Sunday when they won in San Francisco. Andy Dalton obviously injured. A.J. McCarron steps in and does a nice job. Is this Cincinnati team wired a little bit differently than the ones in the past? And do you think that they can make some noise in the postseason, even though Pittsburgh's breathing right down their necks?
Yeah, I think they are wired differently. I think this is a more confident team. I think they're more battle-tested. They won some big games. You know, they beat Pittsburgh on the road at Pittsburgh. They had to come from behind against a Seattle team and beat them. They've had to win a lot of different forms and fashions that has allowed them to have, I think, a higher level of confidence. That's why they could still win with an inexperienced quarterback like A.J. McCarron. It remains to be seen if they can win in the postseason, especially without Andy Dalton. One would argue that even with Andy, they're challenged in that area. But they're a better team with Andy Dalton. He's a much better quarterback. He's in his fifth year. He continues to get only better. But what a game, right? They get to go to Denver, got a chance to win that number two seed in the AFC playoff picture, but they're going to have to do it with their backup quarterback, and Denver may have to win with their backup quarterback. So we've been saying that the Bengals are one of the deepest and most talented rosters in the NFL. Now they get a chance to prove it.
Solly, have a great call on Sunday on CBS. Great work on NFL Network, and to you and your family, a great holiday, and we appreciate you joining us on the PapaCast.
Merry Christmas, Bob. Thanks for having me.
All right, we go from a defensive backs perspective in Solomon Wilcots to the New York Giants' all-time leading receiver. Amani Toomer joins us here on the PapaCast. And Amani, obviously the situation that transpired on Sunday between Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh Norman was just a black eye for the National Football League. It's not what you want to portray. Were you surprised that Odell Beckham Jr. got suspended, or did you expect it?
I was surprised he got suspended. I think that the closer you get to football, the more you really see the game. And I think that, to me, is what I remember about playing in the National Football League. It's a physical league. You know, guys are trying to, you know, impose their will physically on their opponent by any means necessary. And I think that Odell Beckham Jr., the fact that he was baited in early on in the game and with the being approached by one of the practice squad players with a bat on the field. I remember staying on the sideline being very, why do they have a bat? Because I was standing right in front of the defensive backs for the Carolina Panthers, and they were swinging around a bat. Really couldn't understand that. I don't know what that has to do really with football. And I don't know, I take issue with Josh Norman. I mean, the fact that this is a guy who claims that he's a tough guy, claims he's Batman and all that, but when he fights, he expects people to just cower down to him. And when people come back at him with the same vigor that he goes at other players, he's surprised. And to me, that's the sign of a coward. And I think Josh Norman needs to take, I think he should have been suspended as well for some of his antics, because if the NFL allows Josh Norman to keep doing some of the same things that he's doing, it's only going to get worse, because now there's a just like there's a target on Odell Beckham, there's a target for receivers against Josh Norman, knowing that he's going to try to get in their heads and he's going to try to embarrass them physically on the field by slamming them. And I think that's a slippery slope that he's going down. Corners get old real quickly in this league, and the fact that he's a guy that is, he's very slight of build, I think his mouth is right in check that his behind can't catch.
Amani, with that said, as Odell Beckham Jr. takes a 7-foot launch at him, he's got to show more poise in that situation, though, doesn't he?
He does have to show more poise, but you know what? In a fight, there are no rules. And when he got slammed early on in the game and the referees didn't call it, If I'm Odell Beckham, I'm trying to protect myself. If they claim that they're going to end my career, well, you know what? I'm going to try and protect myself and make sure that I'm going to get my licks in too. I would have done the exact same thing. It may not sound right, it may not sound pretty, but I'm telling you, if you put me in a position where you're threatening my career, my livelihood, my dream, I'm going to do anything I can. Now, I know that it wasn't right for the game. It didn't really, it cost his team 45 yards, but you know what it did do? It sparked that entire team in the third quarter. Everybody was walking dead. They were just accepting the fact that they were getting beat 37-7, and then Odell Beckham started to fight. And then everybody started to fight. Then they came back like gangbusters, I think because the momentum that was brought on by Odell Beckham, not allowing his team to just wither away and get blown out by the undefeated Carolina Panthers. So I think, you know, you look at how bad the act was, but then you look at the effect that it had on the rest of his team. And to me, you may not like it, you may not understand it, but that's the way, in my mind, in my experience in the NFL, that's the way you get through the players on your team, and he did.
What mistakes did the league make? I mean, there was a lot of talk coming into this game about Odell Beckham Jr. going against Josh Norman, arguably the best, if not one of the best, corners in the NFL. The stats that Norman had compiled this year, quarterback rating against, amount of yards he allowed to Dez Bryant and Julio Jones combined and Mike Evans and a couple other guys. Odell Beckham Jr., 6 straight 100-yard receiver, you know, all the stuff. What mistakes did the league make leading up to this and then during it that allowed this to get to where it got?
They should have taken both of those guys and had a conference call with them separately or together. I don't know. But say, hey, look, everybody's going to be watching you. We are going to have a quick hook. We're going to be throwing flags right away. So I don't want any of those shenanigans. And all it needed was a conversation before, because you could see, anybody with two eyes could see that this was a powder keg waiting to go off. They needed to get to both of these players, maybe have the referee sidebar them going into the game, say, hey, look, we're going to be calling it tight today. Because when the referees allowed Josh Norman to slam him the first time, slam Odell Beckham Jr. the first time, and no flag was called, oh, it's open season after that. Oh, I'm going to have to protect myself because the referees aren't going to protect me.
Amani, obviously Odell Beckham Jr. could have handled things differently early in the fact that he drops that touchdown pass. How much did that, do you think, play into him getting into this stuff? Because if he's got a 52-yard touchdown right on top of Josh Norman on the third play of the game, you think things play out differently?
Yeah, I think they do play out differently. I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. stops, though. I think he comes on and he's going to try and embarrass him in any way possible. So I think that it would have changed the tenor of the game. I don't think that it wouldn't have been a blowout. I think he would have caught the attention of the Carolina Panthers a little bit earlier. I just think that I don't know. I think that it would have changed it a little bit, but I think that that was the powder keg when to go off. Both guys were, you know, trusting somebody's sexuality, questioning somebody's hairstyle, questioning calling him Michael Jackson at the end of the game. Those are disrespectful things in football circles.
All right, so Amani, you're the Giants' all-time leading receiver. You played a long time in the NFL. You had a lot of success. You won a Super Bowl. You played in two of them. You played against some rough and tumble guys. You played against guys that got in your face. You played against trash talkers. How come nothing like this ever happened with you?
Well, I definitely handled it in a different way. I mean, I wouldn't have made it so blatant, but I would have definitely had the intent of trying to crack back at somebody. I would have definitely not let it ride like that. I just don't think that people tried me in the same way that they tried Odell Beckham because of my stature and my size. So I think that plays a role. I think they look at a young guy, a little guy, and they think that, you know, oh, he's a small guy. We can really push this guy around. Let's see how tough he is. That's something that I never really had to deal with on the same level as Odell Beckham did.
Eli Manning made a comment when he was on a radio show during the week where he said that he's spoken to Odell Beckham Jr. a little bit about some of the antics that he does, and he said, listen, you got to be careful because you're going to make yourself a target. I don't want to see you getting hurt, but you're creating, you know, a little bit of a lightning rod. Do you think he needs to tone down some of his stuff and channel the energy differently?
Focus, I think he needs to focus in on playing more. I think you're not going to – it's not a street fight. You're not going to get yourself any any credibility by those cheap crackback blocks. He's going to get some satisfaction, some gratification. I bet you Josh Norman's going to think twice the next time he tries Odell Beckham. But the way to really hurt somebody and the way to really get somebody back, in my opinion, is on the field. Catch that 52-yard touchdown. You know, catch that end of that game, catch that at the end of the game like you did, and make that be your get back at another player. That to me is what I would tell Odell Beckham. Yeah, it's great. You're not going to win these battles because basically nobody knows what's going on. But when you light up that scoreboard by scoring touchdowns or moving the chains or having your team win, that is going to have way more of a lasting effect on Josh Norman. If he would have had a better game, he would have taken Josh Norman from his pedestal. Well, I mean, I really was not impressed with Josh Norman after watching him play. But taking him off his perceived pedestal and putting him where he deserves to be as a run-of-the-mill corner, in my opinion. So that's why I think it really hurts when you take away his ability to, you know, say that he's one of the best corners in the league. That to me would have had more of a lasting effect than a crackback block.
Final question. We talked about the officials not handling this thing right because they didn't throw a flag until the second quarter on either guy when there was many opportunities to sort of reel it in. The officials talked to both head coaches, still didn't get reeled in. When it escalated to an over-the-top point, should Odell Beckham Jr. have been benched for at least a series?
I mean, you're down 35-7. How are you gonna? I just don't know how you take your best player off the field for a series when it's the third quarter. You're down 35-7. You don't have any more opportunities to win. And I like what Tom Coughlin said. Hey, he's a young player. He's going to have to learn how to deal with these types of situations if he's going to be the receiver that he, you know, if he's going to, you know, be the receiver that he is. Because now I tell you, every team is going to do the exact same thing to him, and so it's not like it's going to stop. He's going to have to try and figure it out and try to find a place in his mind where he's comfortable with just going after teams and going after players and beating them on the field as opposed to trying to beat them up like some sign of street fight. It's not worth it.
Giants all-time leading receiver, never at a loss as far as opinion or words. Amani Toomer, we appreciate your insight, your perspective, because you played. You were on the field. You've been in these battles, and you played for a long time at a really high level. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and we appreciate your time here on the PapaCast.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bob.
That's Amani Toomer. We want to thank Amani Toomer, the Giants' all-time leading receiver, and Solomon Wilcots of CBS Sports and the NFL Network. Hope you enjoyed this edition of the PapaCast.